This is A View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today is Wednesday, the 4th of February, 2015, and my name is Patrick Smith. Hi, everybody. An interesting weekend for the Belfast Giants, where a lot of effort was put in for not very much reward, and we're going to have a chat with Davey and the coach about all the incidents this weekend at the NIC. We're also joined by the netminder for the Brayhead Clan, Kyle Jones, one of Belfast Giants' stalwarts in Craig Peacock, and our good friend Laura Small, who will be joining us to chat about this weekend's Bleed Teal for Tom drive at the Odyssey Arena. If you want to get in contact with us, we'll have all the details at the end of the show, because I make no apology that this is going to be one long show. I know I'm going to have Jacko moan at me about it being a very long show, but that's just the way it is. It's a lot of really good stuff, so enjoy it. One point from two games at the NIC for the Belfast Giants, and here to pick over the bones of the weekend. First of all, a man stood next to me at the back of block three at the NIC. It's Mr. David McGimsey. Well, you made it eventually on Saturday.
Yes, it did. It's funny what you do to get to watch your team, but yes, made the trip, and I was glad I made the trip. Disappointing results, of course, but glad I was there.
And also a man very audible at the back of that block three, Neil, the coach Russell. How are you, mate?
Doing the very best. Thoroughly enjoyed actually sitting up in the block on Saturday and Sunday evening, as opposed to standing there with a mic and chatting about it or calling the game. But yeah, thoroughly enjoyed it. But like Davey, disappointed with the results, but a good weekend nonetheless.
You called the whole game anyway.
I did, in fairness.
You says calling the whole game while you were sat there.
I did, in fairness.
And I'm going to in cage.
That presence.
Take his eyes.
I'm going to dispel all the rumours here, and I'm going to reinforce the fact that TV's Neil the Coach Russell did do some of the text updates on Sunday. And whenever anybody thought he was there heading his phone, typing away. You did
take a bit of a stance and gave me that glare, as if to say on Sunday, Coach, I did all three periods. It's about time you front up and do some manual labour here.
Listen, it's only fair.
It is. Absolutely.
And one thing before we get stuck in, gents, is on Sunday afternoon, we were invited over by our good friends over at the Cat's Whiskers to attend a stage show in Bunkers Hill, upstairs in Bunkers Hill. Good turnout and an enjoyable thing to do, joined by Paul Eddy.
Yes, Paddy, it was great. It was good fun. It was great to see so many Giants fans pack the bar out as well. We weren't left alone to face some Panthers fans who one actually came up afterwards and forgave me for everything I've ever said about his club, which was interesting. I don't think it was Morrissey, but we just thanked him and moved on.
Coach Paul Eddy joining us on stage, always good value.
Oh, very much so. He's a true gent, as we've said on many occasions. And
ding,
I knew that was going to get a giggle from David. One of the real gents, and you know he's really good to listen to. In terms of his hockey chat, he's very forthright. But he does say it, and he says what he thinks, but he says it in such a way that people enjoy listening to him. We got a lot of really positive feedback. As did Jono and all the guys over at the Cat's Whiskers. And, you know, I think maybe plans are afoot to do something similar again over in Nottingham at some stage, but we'll wait until that's confirmed before announcing it. But as Davey said, it was great to see so many of the Belfast Giants fans pack out the bar as well. I mean, a good crowd, good number made their way across the REC for the doubleheader weekend. And I thoroughly enjoyed it, I have to say. Hopefully we'll do it again soon.
If you want to hear that show, it's over on the Cat's Whiskers. If you go on the iTunes or tcwfanzine.wordpress.com, you'll be able to hear that live show. Well worth tuning into. And thanks to the guys for inviting us over. Guys, I don't think we can delay this any further. It's time to talk about that weekend. Saturday and Sunday at the NIC over in Nottingham against the Nottingham Panthers. The Belfast Giants were subject to two defeats. First of all, on Saturday, a 4-3 shootout loss to the Panthers, and on Sunday, a gutting 1-0 defeat with a goal coming in the dying seconds of that game. On Saturday, the Giants' goals were scored by Westgarth, Garside and Sawada, while Nottingham's goals came from Chris Higgins, Greg Jacina and Robert Lagerwich. On Sunday, no goals for the Belfast Giants, but the Panthers' winning goal came from Lawrence. And Davey, two very tough, two very tight games.
There's nothing, not an awful lot between these two teams. Certainly wasn't over the course of the weekend. Good defence. Okay, we turned the puck over at times, I thought, in defence a good bit. But good penalty kills from both teams. And it was just disappointing. It was good to see us getting the puck behind Kowalski after the 4-0 result in Belfast. And all the goals coming from very close in on him. The Westgarth one right in front. Garside, bit of a screen from Kiefer in front, and then the Sawada one from just a complete scramble in front, and everybody crashing the net to get the goal. So from that point of view, good goals. Two tip-ins for them, you know. It's easy to criticise for not scoring and then criticise defence mistakes. It was a very, very good game of hockey. Let's get that right first. It was a brilliant game. When we went 3-2 up, it's as much as I've celebrated a goal in the year. You know, this was our chance to kick on, and unfortunately we just couldn't hold the lead out. There was no time left in the game, and penalty shots, the lottery, you know, we really emptied the tank, and there was a penalty taken towards the end of regulation, maybe 15, 20 seconds to go on Darrell Lloyd, which doesn't get called the rest of the game, which I think really frustrated Steve Thornton as well. You know, there's penalties that we seem to be taking the Panthers wouldn't be called on. You know, it's no surprise. I think 9 out of the last 10 games in the NIC, the Panthers have taken less penalties than their opponents. Don't know what that tells you other than that's the stat. But you go in the penalty shots, bit of a lottery. We got the lead. We got pegged back with a fantastic finish by Robert Farmer, take nothing away from it. And unfortunately, we just couldn't go on and take the 2 points. But, you know, I think that's the third time in 3 games at the NIC this season that would take them points. So it was at least a good step forward from where we've been.
Coach, the one thing that, you know, you're known for saying yourself is the fact that you want players to give it their all. And the Giants certainly emptied their tank this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely, Paddy. I mean, certainly over the course of the 2 games, the Belfast Giants fully emptied the tank. And as we've said on numerous occasions, I mean, if you see your team given 100% each time, each shift that they're out there, can have very little complaints. I mean, I think I agree with Davey. I mean, I thought Saturday night was an excellent game of hockey. I really, really enjoyed Saturday's game. There's very little between these two sides. I think the major difference, in my opinion, is a former Belfast Giant, somebody who can unlock games. Chris Higgins had 3 points. I think of 3 or 4 points across the 2 games. Just makes things happen. And I think from a Belfast Giants perspective, certainly on the Sunday evening, I felt that we were just lacking that wee bit of creativity. But, you know, in terms of work rate across both games, no complaints whatsoever. I don't think any of the Belfast Giants fans had any complaints with the work rate that they saw.
I think one thing that they have that we are also lacking in, Coach, is speed, raw speed. The likes of Moses so transitional fast. Speed, Lagovic fast, you know, Brandon Benedict has got jets as well. You know, they've got Doucette. They've got players that can get the puck from back to front really, really quick and not put us under pressure, because you try to go for a line change all of a sudden, and Kowalski's stretch passes at the weekend.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Caught us an awful lot of times. We're heading to the bench. Interesting, the dynamic that last season, Brookwell and Elfring always changed one at a time. One stead on, one change. You know, we seem to change D-men one at a time, whereas at the minute it's bang, two off, two on, and we're getting caught with that left wing stretch pass a lot. It's just they have speed to burn, and we got stung a few times. They got shots away, and you know, Doucette could have won the game on Saturday night if it wasn't for an absolutely blind and glove save from Chewback with nothing left on the clock, maybe 5 seconds left on the clock, from that exact going for a line change with 5 seconds left in the game. Colour me confused, you know.
Well, say about the line changes. The lines themselves have been changed up a bit. Mike Compton, we spoke about this, about whether Compton should be taken off that line with Lloyd and Keith and Garside to be put back in there. And that seems to be what's happened, with Compton being put in between Sawada and Chevrolet. Davey, it's also put Mark McCutcheon in a position that more on Saturday than on Sunday, that where he was didn't see much ice time at all, and Steve Thornton was not really talking about that post game.
One of those things, when you've got 10 forwards, somebody's odd man out, and the decision was that Steve Thornton made on Saturday certainly was that McCutcheon was very much the 10th forward, and he was only going to get ice time and in some sort of exceptional circumstance, it seemed, and he didn't get any, a bit of a delayed penalty on Westgarth, and that was the height of it. You know, the coach has to, he's paid to make these decisions, and that's when he came up. I can't really add anything, Paddy, more than what Steve Thornton himself said, you know.
Yeah.
That was the decision made, and it's that's it, really.
And coach, just to close out discussion of Saturday, it all went to those penalty shots. It is always a lottery, but my goodness, Rob Farmer's penalty shot.
Absolutely superb. Under pressure as well to keep his team in it and all the rest. I mean, it was absolutely superb. Robert Farmer has probably been the top British player this season across the Elite League. Everyone has been ranting and raving about him. He's improved year in, year out, and he's only 23 as well, 24, 23. He's a young guy. He's improving. He's getting better each and every single year. He looks an awkward character, doesn't he? I mean, he doesn't look the best of skaters. He looks quite gangly and quite awkward on his skates at times, but my goodness, he's putting up the points. And as I said, I think maybe on last week's podcast, he's putting up points in big, big games, and he's coming up with really important plays. And he's one of those players. You hate him whenever he's playing against you. He's a bit of the Daryl Lloyd factor. He's niggly. He's at you the whole time. He creates a lot of scrums and, you know, gets players sent to the box because they react to him and what have you. A bit of the Daryl Lloyd's about him, but what a fantastic penalty it was. Fair play to the guy. A lot of skill. He
does my head pure in. And I, like you said, coach, he's one of those players you hate on another team. And for me, He has that physical, he's always had that physical element to his game where he likes to get in people's faces and wind people up. But my goodness, Kevin Westgarth on Saturday night, John Adam from the penalty box, that was your opportunity to set your marker down. He is allowed to run around the NIC all weekend like Billy Big and nobody challenged him at all. Even from the point of the Brookwell incident, like the Brookwell incident on Sunday night where he skated 150 feet to get involved. That's the opportunity for our team to set down a marker and say, no, you're not going to do this. But no, we just let them run roughshod all over us. And that was one massive disappointment for the weekend, that we let a British kid run round like the big lad on campus.
Couldn't agree more. And with, it's something that I've always preached about our tough guys. I mean, Kiefer rarely lets us down in that department, but for me, Big Westgarth was the one that was engaged with Robert Farmer, especially in the penalty box, and you know, he came out and did absolutely nothing. Boys, I just want to ask one question, just to extrapolate what we talked about there previously, and be interested just to get your views on it. To do with that decision by Steve Thornton on Mark McCutcheon being the 10th forward, Where does that leave Mark McCutcheon moving forward? Do you think that's a big kick in the backside for an import he brought in, an NBA import? You know, Mark Garside been out injured for the last couple of months. You know, drip fed back in maybe in one game, the role again on the third line, and you know, as we saw on Sunday night, he maybe had a few more shifts, but you know, Saturday night it was a clear marker for him.
Well, I'll take that, and I'll say that it's obviously a massive message to Mark McCutcheon. It's a message, it's either you shape up very quickly or you're gone. It seems to be that way. It seems to be he's been isolated as one of the weak players. Listen, we've said it week in, week out. Our coach has said it week in, week out about how he maybe hasn't appeared as to the extent that we want. And I will stick up for the guy and the fact that he does work his backside off. I think that I have seen him perform. It just hasn't been on a consistent basis. The coach has made that decision. The real coach, not the coach. He's made that decision to make him that 10th forward at the NIC in a crunch game. And then when asked about it post game, he wasn't going to say anything more than yes. That's a massive message to Mark McCutcheon that if he doesn't shape up and extremely quickly, his days might be numbered at the Odyssey Arena. Davey?
can't really add anything more to that, Paddy. You know, it looks as straightforward as that. You are now my 10th forward. You've got an opportunity. I'm sure it's not your sack tomorrow morning. You know, he got ice time on Sunday, and I thought he put some good shifts in on Sunday, but not enough that he made me, you know, he doesn't jump out as, you know, a top line forward at the minute. And that's going to be a confidence thing as well. You're benching Saturday night. Okay. You're going to come out and really try your best to say, you know, you made a mistake benching me, but you're also going to be a bit down on confidence. So it's difficult to see where Mark McCutcheon's going to go from here. It really is. What do you think, coach?
Oh, listen, mate, I've said it right from the get-go. I mean, literally right from the get-go.
When he scored the opening goal of the season?
Yeah, against Cardiff Devils. Yeah, that is true. At no stage, I mean, right from the signing, when I looked up his stats, saw some of the scouting reports from across Europe, but it just was a player that I was kind of had a major question mark over for right from the get-go. But like as I said, right from the start as well, I mean, there's always those types of players. Like, I can remember us distinctly talking about Chris Higgins whenever he was signed. You know, Chris Higgins didn't have superb points, but we're kind of hemming and hand. It's going to be interesting to see what this guy does. He's had a few injuries and all this type of stuff. And then look what he turned out to be. But yeah, he's had a difficult season, hasn't he? I mean, he did pick up those early season injuries, and that's bound to have got him down. Probably felt a bit isolated from the team in that regard as well. I mean, Kevin Surratt talked about it on the Giants Live webcast with me. You know, no matter the fact that you know all the guys really well, Surratt's been here for a couple of seasons. You still, if you're not playing for a couple of months, you feel isolated. You don't really feel a genuine part of the team until you get back on the ice. And McCutcheon's been back now, but you know, as I said on last week's podcast, you know, working hard, you'll always get a pat on the back from me for working hard. But at the end of the day, you're brought in as an import forward, an MBA import forward at that. You're expecting a hell of a lot. I mean, look at our MBAs over the years: Calvin Elfring, Kevin Surratt. John Pell, I think, might have been an MBA. I can't remember now. But, you know, we have saved those MBAs for premier forwards, or premier players, should I say. And Mark McCutcheon, I think, certainly will not fit into that bracket at all. And it just led me to kind of think, and I've said it for the last month or so, I wonder maybe if Thorch's hands are tied in that regard with regards to having that MBA. I wonder if he wasn't an MBA player, would he have been shipped on by now? It's only for Steve Thornton to answer.
I want to just add in just a little bit the fact that the monkey on his back that he's had for most of this season, and we've said it and a lot of other people have said it, is he's in for Chris Higgins and he's no Chris Higgins. I think that's incredibly unfair to him in his role within the team. You can't bring in a guy and say, right, we want you to do what that guy over there has just done, especially when he's not been playing on it wasn't the same line. You're not sticking him between Surratt and Chevrolet. Those three with Higgins in the middle worked perfectly. They were so fluent together. They knew each other's games. You're bringing in a guy with a different style of play and expecting him to be the new Chris Higgins. I don't think that's fair on any player to be able to come in after a player who's so successful in that role and say, right, do what he did. I do agree that we need a guy with flair. Maybe this guy just wasn't that guy. Maybe this guy's game was different and he's been forced as a square peg into a round hole. And therefore, we're in a position where we're going, ah, he's no Chris Higgins. And that's not his fault.
No, listen, I take that point on board 100%, Paddy. But as I said, you'll always get a pat on the back for work rate from Belfast Giants fans and what have you. But at the end of the day, as an import forward, you're paid to put up points. You're paid to score goals. And like, what is it now? 28, 29 games, 4 goals. It's not good enough, Paddy. Not by a long stretch. And, you know, for me, if I'd have been the man in charge, I'd have been making a move a while ago in that department. But as we said, we never know what goes on behind closed doors. And probably the NBA has played a part in that. But yeah, as I've also said on many occasions, I'm sure you two guys will back this up, I hope the guy comes round. I mean, we're into February now, and what have you, and a few missed opportunities have already passed us by, but I hope the guy puts up a lot of points between now and April. Nobody will be happier than me to see Mark McCutcheon finish this season very strongly for us.
I'm just, before you go there, Paddy, I'm interested to hear you both saying that we need that creative player. And I don't necessarily disagree with you, but we're over 60 shots on Craig Kowalski at the weekend. You know, we're creating, dear knows how many. I'm going to watch, and literally, I'm going to be this boring. I'm going to watch the two game tapes back as soon as we get them and see how many shots off we had as well. You know, we are creating. We miss, I think, Kevin Surratt so badly. We miss a goal scorer as much as we miss that creative edge that maybe Chris Higgins brought last year and other players have brought in previous years. We are creating chances. We're just not putting the puck in the net.
Stats don't lie. But, you know, in terms of shots on goal, I think Steve Thornton has alluded to this on quite a few occasions. We may well be getting shots on goal, but they're shots on goal that the goaltenders are able to see. I just feel that we are lacking that overall creativity, just to kind of, I don't know, Chris Higgins, he just opened up games. He split the fences right apart. I don't disagree with you at all in terms of a sniper. I mean, we are missing that guy. There's no question about that. We've also said that over the course of the season as well. But for me, in my opinion, we're really missing that real inventive type player.
Just to close out Saturday's game, Davey, there was a bit of confusion at the end during penalty shots. The fact that once three were completed, the order was changed. Carson Chewbacca had to face two penalty shots in quick succession. Lawrence coming in, scoring his, and then Elfring the other side missing, giving Nottingham the win. There was a bit of a confusion, a bit of questioning over whether that was legal, but it was in the WIHF rules.
Yeah, Paddy, it is in the rule book there. It's under the winning shot procedures. I'll maybe just take a second to read you the actual rule. It says, if the game is still tied after three shots by each team, it will continue with a tie-break shootout by one player of each team with a reversed shooting order. So it was a new one on me. I'd never seen it before, them changing orders through the shootout, but well within their rights to do so.
Absolutely, and as I say, Lawrence took that shot and the Nottingham Panthers ended up with 2 points, and we move on to Sunday. Coach, a two-way battle royale. It was described on the Cat's Whiskers as a game of chess, and it really was. I don't think it was the greatest game of hockey, as in for the style of hockey that was played, but you couldn't take your eyes off it.
Yeah, no, I think you've encapsulated that perfectly, Paddy. I mean, it was a very intense game. You knew how much it meant to both teams to try and pick up those 2 points. I thought we were very good again. I thought we worked our absolute tails off for 60 minutes. You know, Coach Thornton kind of no complaints whatsoever there. But yeah, it was just one of those kind of attritional games. Very defensively orientated, two defensively sound teams on the day, and what a heartbreak it was, right, with, 48, 49 seconds to go, and Chris Lawrence riffed that one. I mean, it just broke all of our hearts there up in whatever block it was, block three. You know, I don't think either team particularly deserved to lose. I can't remember the overall shot count. I think the Panthers did outshoot us reasonably well on the night, but I thought it was a good game of hockey, but certainly not as good as Saturday, that's for sure.
The shot count was 35-30 in favour of the Nottingham Panthers. Davey, and it was a game that was fraught with tension. It was quite feisty and quite physical, and it was, you know, there were quite a few penalty minutes thrown out, 43 for the Giants and 40 minutes for the Panthers. We'll come to the controversy in a bit, but it was the referees. Well, I'll come to that bit first. I don't think Michael Hicks and Matt Thompson really covered themselves in a lot of glory in that game.
Take a deep breath here. Before I go on the referee, and just to go back on some of the things Neil was saying there, I agree. I actually really enjoyed the game on Sunday, and a bit like the 0-0 with Sheffield a few weeks ago, the kind of hockey I like, the game of chess, the, you know, the real strategic players playing really hard and physical and defensively sound. I think that we ran into, it was more the timing of our penalties, and that we ended up with a couple of 5-on-3s, and they just add up. And when you're really trying to defend your defensive zone with minutes to go in the game, and we were leggy, we were tired, two games on the road, two physical games, you know, and it was hard, and we kind of ran out of steam towards the end of the second game, and they were able to come with a goal. But the goal on the Michael Hicks, his first penalty that he called against Adam Keefe. were unbelievable. Kowalski dives. Like, let's not make no bones about it. Kowalski dives looking at the penalty and cons Hicks. Now, I could forgive Hicks if Hicks was 60 feet away operating a one-man system. Hicks is down the barrel 15 feet away. I'm going to screenshot it when I get the game tape. It's a dreadful decision. And I thought that the four-man system would actually help Michael Hicks because he doesn't get around the ice very well. So all he has to do is look after a zone and a half. The other ref, Thompson, I think it was on Sunday night, looks after the other zone and a half. He was there. He didn't have to skate anywhere. He was in a good position. He was looking right down at, and to make that decision, which ultimately didn't cost us at that stage, because they never scored on that penalty. But the cumulative adding up of killing penalties and players that don't normally kill penalties because your main penalty killer's sitting on his backside for something that should never have been called adds up, and that helps, ended up helping the Nottingham Panthers towards the end of the game. Just a dreadful decision. There was a few phantom calls the other night that just the referee and, you know, I spoke to Steve Thornton over the weekend. Accountability, players, the coaches hold players accountable. To a certain extent, things like this, we hold players accountable in our own way. You know, we talk about people's performances. Coaches are held accountable by their GMs and their, and the owners of the clubs. Who is holding the referees the account here? Because they're brutal. And I've never heard of one being put on garden leave or you're not having a game this weekend. Go and watch a game because you were brutal last weekend. Go and do this or do that. Are they getting extra training? Because it's just, it's a closed shop. It's very, there's no transparency as to what's going on with the referee. It's not good enough. We're paying a lot of money to get in. A lot of people pay, taking time off work, flying over, getting boats over, driving over, whatever, to go and see a spectacle that is being helped to be ruined by the guys in the stripes. Now, we can't have the game without them. And, you know, credit to them for putting the effort in, but they need to be better.
Coach, I'm not going to, first of all, I'm going to state that we're in no way blaming the referees for the Belfast Giants loss.
100% not.
Not in any way. But I will say the fact that we'll hear from Craig Peacock later on about the game in this country and how it's improved, and it has improved. And coach, the problem we have is we have referees like Michael Hicks who aren't improving. It's not only frustrating the fans, but you just had to see Adam Keefe's reaction to the call, that interference call that Davey just spoke about. His reaction could have got him another 10 minutes in the box, but it was just out of pure frustration at what was a brutal call. And this is happening week in, week out.
Yeah, it is. You know, I agree with everything that Dave says there. I mean, you know, I think you look at, also Robert Farmer getting chucked from the game as well. I mean, like he got chucked from the game for clearing the bench. I mean, he was on the ice as well. Absolutely ridiculous. Adam Keefe, absolute phantom call. 100% agree. It's poor. We've talked about this throughout the course of the season. I mean, I think I mentioned on the podcast as well about the long conversation that Murph and I had with Dean Smith after one of the games over in Cardiff, I think, or Glasgow. I mean, he would be the first to tell you that the referees know that they need a lot of work, they need a lot of training, but the clubs just ain't fronting up the cash to put into the training that is required. I mean, how do we move forward? I think the Elite League will be discussing this. I think it has become such an issue this season from speaking to a few people around the place. I mean, the league are going to have to do something about it and pronto. Sending them all off for a week's training in the middle of July or the middle of August, it ain't good enough. The guys need more of a concerted or concentrated training program put together for them. But we'll have to remember as well that these guys are all working Monday to Friday, 9 to 5 as well. This is a weekend job. They don't get paid a hell of a lot of money. I mean, so the Elite League, yes, is getting better. The product is getting better. The referees are staying stagnant, if not decreasing, in terms of quality. So the Elite League, it falls, the onus is on the league to help the referees improve. How do we go about that? Well, the Elite League are going to have a bit of a brainstorming session, because I think everybody, the referees included, will admit that that the standard just hasn't been that great this season at all.
I'm going to basically, sorry, just to say, just step in there. I am going to stick up for the league in one way. The fact that a good friend of the Belfast Giants, Stefan Hogarth, didn't referee in the Elite League this week because I believe he was over in Sweden, in one of the lower leagues in Sweden, or certainly in Scandinavia, as part of this exchange that seems to be going on. Because on Saturday night, we had a young Swedish referee in the game also, as part of this exchange to try to give him experience out there amongst a better system. So there is something in place. However, it seems that it's the thing is in place for those people like Stefan Hogarth, who are new into the league, and like us, whereas the likes of Mike Hicks, who, yeah, he's been... A lot of times when he gets a lot of grief, it's unjustified. But more often than not lately, it is justified. He's behind the play. He's seeing things that aren't there. He's calling things that don't exist. It's frustrating fans. It's frustrating everywhere. But the league are starting to put something into place. Sorry, Dave, I interrupted you.
Just along the lines of, you know, what Neil was saying there, it's just unbelievable that things like the call Hicks made... Like, there's clear daylight between, it's not like, you know, he could be forgiven for thinking that, well, the way Kowalski's went down, Keith must have caught him there. There's feet between it. You know, it's not even a close decision. And how the top one, you know, say Hicks and Darnell are the two top referees in the country. He needs to start proving it.
Yeah, that's true. Well, speaking of refereeing, one of the big decisions they had to make was regards to one of the big incidents with 10:43 left in the game. A scrum around the net. From where we were saying, it seemed to be a bit of a scrum around the net. Cody Brookwell getting really upset of something. Robert Farmer getting thrown into the box and thrown out of the game. And then Cody Brookwell getting thrown out of the game also. Brookwell got 5 minutes for spearing and a 20-minute game misconduct, while Robert Farmer got 2+2 for leaving the bench, 2 minutes for roughing, and 20 minutes game misconduct. Now, subsequently, the Nottingham Panthers have released footage in their highlights, and quite clearly, Cody Brookwell does spear Kobe Cohen. But after Cohen aims his left skate at the knee, or the knee area, of Brookwell. Brookwell's actions were in retaliation to what was a very dangerous play by Cohen. Also in that, Robert Farmer did not leave the bench. He was on the ice at the time. So he got a 2+2 for leaving the bench, which didn't really warrant it. Coach, I'm going to start with you. Well, I was going to start with you on this, but you treacherously give your opinions first to the cat's whiskers. So, Davey, I'm going to start with you on this. Your opinion, having seen at the time when we saw Brookwell get thrown out, and then the subsequent video evidence.
The just as the incident happened, obviously we're 200 feet away in the back row of the block there, and it's one of those things. It's like very unlike Cody Brookwell. You know, nine minors this season, five of them hooking calls. You know, the big guy doesn't play, you know, that physical crease clearing game. You know, very very rarely. So you knew straight away something's happened here because it went berserk. Yeah. And, you know, it was clear from where we were. Yes, he's had a couple of spears at Cohen on the ground. Whenever you've seen the video evidence that the Panthers were very, very kind to put out, of Cohen. Cohen kicks Cody Brookwell in the knee. Let's not say he aims or whatever. He kicks him in the knee. It's clear. And you can see Cody's knee going back when there's contact. He's got a 2-inch steel blade in his knee. Despicable, you know, and he's lucky he only got two spears. To be quite honest with you, now I'm sure we haven't heard anything from Dobbs yet. I'm sure everyone will be looking at it. And if Cody Brookwell takes an additional suspension for that, there's precedent set over the last few weeks. I think, wasn't Robbie Sandrock's last a few weeks back? The evidence of the reflection of the plexiglass guy got a 1-game ban, you know, spearing. They've already said Dobbs have, you know, put a line in the sand and said, if you spear someone, you're getting a ban. Kobe Cohen, fantastic ice hockey player, real standout over the weekend, but you can't do that. He kicks Cody Brookwell. He deserves everything he get. For me, why he's not being picked up by the roots and banged off the plexi a few times, no idea. That just, for me, I can't understand. Our bench knew after Cody Brookwell's been thrown out of the game, Cohen wasn't thrown out of the game. You know, our team knew that he had been kicked in the knee. Nothing done about it again. Just another big axe in the box for me.
Coach, first of all, I think the Farmer penalties will be rescinded in some way, unfairly given that penalty for leaving the bench. But your opinions on the fact that Cohen didn't get anything, you know, and what we're going to expect from Dobbs when the event... Now, let's say that it's Wednesday now, and usually Dobbs moves pretty quickly, but it's Wednesday now, and I don't believe we've heard anything. I'm just checking the Elite League site.
Yeah, I think we will hear something, to be brutally honest with you. I mean, it was a very unsavoury incident. I think Dave sums that up perfectly there in terms of like sitting up at the back of the block. We knew when we saw Cody Brookwell's reaction. I mean, I said it last night in the Cats Whiskers podcast. The big guy's hard to anger. A lot of Belfast Giants fans have been crying out for the big guy to show a bit of that nastiness this season. But I think whenever we saw it, we knew that something else had had sparked the big fella. I have to be totally honest with you, and I think quite a lot of fans, judging by what I saw on social media yesterday, whenever the highlights were first released and then the Vine came out, I think a lot of people, a lot of Panthers fans, a lot of fans across the league were instantly saying, geez, look at Brookwell's spear, absolute disgrace. And then people started to pick up, geez, did anyone see Colby Cohen kicking out of Brookwell first of all there? And you saw it. I mean, it was blatant. It was bang out of order. It's a major, major no-no in hockey to kick out at a fellow professional. And that's what sparked the big guy. Caught him right in the knee, or just maybe just below it, but caught him nonetheless. And I think the first whack that Cody Brookwell gives him is at the offending leg, which, let's be honest, you know, you're going to do that. Yeah. You know, somebody comes at you with a 2-inch blade and fires it at your knee, you're going to bloody well react. And Cody did that. Where he's going to get himself into bother, I think, is for the second one, which would appear to be right into the midriff, which isn't on. But I have to say,
it's a red mist one, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And do you know what? You know,
I'd have done it myself, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you something. If it had been me, it would have been a hell of a lot worse. I can rest assure you of that. But, you know, yes, and I, do you know what? I look back on it, and Cody will probably get a ban out of this for that spear. That's second one, especially right into Colby Cohen's midriff. But I would expect Cohen to be getting a far more substantial games than Cody Brookwell.
I think myself, having seen it, it was quite interesting. It's, like you say, at first glance, I was like, well, I'll look at Brookwell. And I think it was Davey that actually pointed it out to me, the fact that the kick, because I didn't see it initially. Mm. And then I did see it. So now that brings me back to think, did the Nottingham Panthers know what they were doing when they put this footage out? Did they see it? Because If the Brookwell incident is going to be reviewed, no problem about that. It's a major game penalty. It's automatically reviewed by Dops. They might have picked it up. They might not have picked it up. But that's, you know, the footage has to be sent to them. Now, the camera behind the goal for the Nottingham Panthers is a nice to have. It's not necessary, because if you look across the league, there are a lot of clubs that only have one camera. We saw at the start of the season, Edinburgh being fined and a massive ban being handed out because of a lack of footage. That's not the case here. The Nottingham Panthers have footage. They could give over the footage of the camera from centre ice. That footage would incriminate Cody Brookwell in that major penalty review 100%. There'd be no way past it. By putting out this other camera, they've made a rod for their own backs. They've actually highlighted the fact that Colby Cohen kicked out. They've shown the reason why Brookwell has responded. And they've more or less put their own player in the dock through a nice-to-have camera that isn't necessary. So the question is, Coach, have they dropped the clanger?
No, you were the one that actually raised this with Davey and I yesterday on message. The more I think about it, the more I think they have, mate. I'm with you on this, because anyone in the right mind, I mean, I think they have done what we did and missed it. I don't think Colby Cohen must have mentioned either, you know, when he skated back to the bench or after the game, listen, you know, I've had a bit of a kick out there. And I don't think maybe the powers that be within the Panthers organization looked at the highlights in its entirety, you know, Or certainly noticed Colby Cohen's actions. As I say, you and I both, the first few times that we looked at it, until really Davey said, yeah, "You see the kick?" That was the first time that we noticed it. So, to the mind's eye, it might not have been wholly apparent. So I think it has. I have to be honest with you and agree with you. I think it's been a bit of a clanger from the Panthers organization. That you would imagine, Paddy, I couldn't agree more with you in terms of that. You know, the wider angle that they could have used, which would have completely incriminated Big Cody. You know, but that behind the goal, I mean, they utilized that camera, in my opinion, to try and emphasize Brookwell's spears on Cohen.
I believe
and
so.
For me, yeah, and I think they've missed out on that kick from Cohen, so I'm with you on that 100%.
Davey, what do you think?
Agree with you entirely. The showed at least three different camera angles of the incidents, which were damning enough on Brookwell. He'd have been in trouble for the three angles they've shown. They've thrown the extra one in there for, you know, to really hammer home their point, and it's the only angle that you can really see the kick in, because there's two cameras, one to the left and one just slightly to the right, and it's not clear that Cohen kicks out in it, but that final angle that's down flat just behind the net really shows, and it shows the instant you can see the kick out, Brookwell goes hat stand. You know, that's, it's clear to me there's been contact because he went mental. And as I say, you know, whatever, 18 penalty minutes in 40 odd games this season, the big man doesn't have that in the locker. You know, it takes something to rile him. And, you know, for me, if they're going to suspend Cody Brookwell for spearing, I think Colby Cohen, as Gary Moran likes to, Colm is in a spot of bother himself.
I'd fully expect Colby Cohen to get some form of retribution, some form of suspension, and if he does, I have no doubt that there are going to be some very angry people in the in the office at Nottingham.
If I can ask a question, and I don't know whether you should be able to answer it, the incident, Cohen himself doesn't take a major penalty.
No, he doesn't.
Is it reviewable? Because the one the other week, I can't remember whether it was Nickerson or Fitzgerald, where Jeff Smith punches him off the ice and he one punches him, knocks him down and gets the ban for. Smith's part in that clearly wasn't reviewed because he took no major penalty, and that was part of the vote Davey, vote coach, you know, debate we had the other week. One of my points was in that they didn't seem to take, you can't punch a player on the bench from the ice. It's a, you know, it's a penalty. It's a major penalty. But that, in the review, wasn't even picked up. It wasn't noted by Dobbs. You know, Smith has thrown the first punch at a player on the bench. So I'm just wondering, can they review the Cohen incident? Does it matter what Cohen does? Because they've set a precedent before in the Jeff Smith incident where it didn't matter what the first person did.
Well, this is where Dobbs is in the dock, isn't it? Because without doubt, this is one of the most dangerous things you can do in hockey. There's a 2-inch blade there and you're putting it towards someone's knee. There's video evidence of this happened within a game. We know who the player is. We know when it happened. We know that the player reacted because of it. So therefore, the Belfast Giants, I've no doubt that Brookwell's went back to the locker room. Somebody said, well, how'd you get kicked out of the game? And he's went, your man's tried to kick me with his blade. So no doubt in my mind that Thornton's went back to the referees or went back to the official, went back to Dobbs and said, we want to cite Colby Cohen for kicking him. Right? Therefore, Dobbs start to look for the footage. In my opinion, the Nottingham Panthers should have buried that last angle and given them everything else. Because that's what I'd expect the Belfast Giants to do. Sorry, mate. Here's all the footage we have and we don't have that last angle. Doesn't matter. You know, and therefore Cohen gets off scot-free. That's what they should have done. I'm not saying it's sporting. I'm not saying it's fair. Self-preservation is what it's all about in this game at this moment. And, you know, people might not agree with me, but that's the way the sport goes. However, Dobbs now know that this happened. The whole league knows it happened. Every fan in the league knows that this happened now. And if Dobbs don't take action, then there's going to be some major question marks taken about the Department of Player Safety, because how can you keep players safe if a guy can throw a skate at somebody's knee and no action is taken? Coach?
Oh, couldn't agree more, mate. I echo everything that you say there. I think, and I just wonder on the back of that question, funny that Davey's just asked, I wonder if that is something that's maybe delayed the Dobbs getting back, because as you quite rightly say as well, they're normally fairly efficient at reviewing this and getting the information out there to people. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. You would imagine that. I think all of us probably thought we'll see something coming out this afternoon. You would imagine latest that we should know about this is by tomorrow afternoon. So let's wait and see what Dobbs have to say.
There's been no word from Dobbs since the 18th of January. I just want to point that out, whether there's been incidents or not. We've not heard anything. But we'll see in the next few days whether there'll be action taken against both Cody Brookwell and Colby Cohen. I believe that there's probably going to be suspensions thrown both ways. If you want to see these highlights and you want to see that incident, Panthers TV were very quick to release the footage, as they usually are when they win games. So if you go to the Panthers website, you'll be able to catch them there. Let's quickly move on, Jensen. Just before we get, we've got an interview coming up with Craig Peacock. Before we get to that, a couple of weeks ago, Coach, we were very quick to talk about the match night situation in Belfast and how we didn't feel it was as polished as it was before. And if we're as quick to criticise, we need to be as quick to praise, because things have changed.
Couldn't agree more, mate, man. Think I got off the podcast last week and sent a message straight away saying we wanted to talk about that. Apologies that it wasn't put out last week, but I couldn't agree more, mate. I think certainly the last couple of home games has been a lot better, a lot slicker. I made the comment on a couple of occasions towards kind of at the start of the season, made another reference to it. I remember now in around November time, it just wasn't up to scratch. And I think you guys were back at Christmas and kind of felt, you know what, I'm with Coach here. It's just not as slick as it should and could be. But certainly, as I say, the last couple of home games been a lot better. I think some of the videos that Neil Whiteside and co have put together, absolutely superb. The stuff that we're doing, the whole dance cam stuff, Stephen Clemens, I have to give Stephen a lot of credit. It's been kind of broken up a good bit. He's especially over Christmas and what have you, he was away, but he was in and out, he was doing various different other functions, but he's now starting to get a real grasp. And you know what? I had a really good conversation with him at the last home game, and he's now starting to really get a passion for the club and for the sport, which is partly what you need. You know, I always talk on the back of probably what Killer always said about people who get it. And you need people with that passion, and he's starting to get that and fully understand it. I just think it has been a lot slicker, and please, 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 may that be the case for the rest of the season and moving forward. I would also like to say, you know, in terms of, it was always going to be difficult after Killer moving on. There's no question about that, because he was a big part of the match night experience. The Canadian voice, the guess what I smell, and all the rest, and his intro, he knew how important that introduction for the team was onto the ice. We were so poor at that in numerous home games. It just wasn't good enough. There was a few occasions where our guys were coming onto the ice and you were getting, welcome on the ice, you're Belfast Giants. Come on, you have to ramp it up. But it has been, really has, credit where credit's due, it has been a lot slicker and a lot better recently.
If you want to hear that spiel from Todd Kelman, it's exactly the same. It just happens in it just happens in South Wales.
I think it's probably another evidence, if it was required, that we have been spoiled as well over the last number of years. Sitting the NIC on Sunday, sitting the NIC even on Saturday, in a 3-3 thriller, in a 0-0 thriller, in a physical game where there's hits and fights and people being thrown out, you could have read a book.
Yeah. Couldn't agree more, Divi, but we've got to set the standard. We have set the standard, and if you can't allow it to either drop away or sit stagnant, you've always got to try and push it on to the next level, best foot forward and all that type of stuff. I couldn't agree more with you. I was shocked at the weekend. You guys were sat alongside me.
Silent.
I couldn't believe
how quiet it was. It's been like that for ages, mate.
And listen, the Odyssey Arena on occasion can be exactly the same. It can be fairly quiet, but with the introduction of Boomerang Corner, all the great work that all those guys are... Joel Neal and all the guys over there are doing, and all the drummers and all the rest. The Odyssey's just starting to get that bit more of a good feel about it. I know you guys aren't back for all the games, but you listen on them, watch on the webcast. Being there inside the arena, the Odyssey is just starting to pick up in terms of the overall atmosphere. But the NIC at the weekend was like a morgue, especially on the Sunday night. Sorry for interrupting, David.
Yeah, the NIC has at times been a bit of a morgue. Coach, it's been that for a long time. But yeah, it's very interesting that things are starting to pick up. I'm looking forward to getting back in a couple of weeks to see. I hear some good things about Boomerang Corner and the videos that are coming up. Let's move ahead, gents. We've done plenty of talking thus far. I think it's going to be another long show. Coming up now, Craig Peacock chatted with us earlier on, and I started off by asking him, after a tough weekend in Nottingham where the guys put in so much effort to only get one point, how was the atmosphere in the room after Sunday night?
Yeah, it was a tough weekend to take. Obviously, the first game went into a shootout, and then the second game, they scored with 40-odd seconds left. So really, it was a weekend where we could have come away with 4 points, but we unfortunately only It's a tough pill to swallow. And I thought we played a good weekend. You know, we didn't play too badly. We just obviously need to be able to create that bit more of offense and find a way to win games rather than lose them right now, because we're playing well enough to keep ourselves in games and give us chances, but we just need to find the finishing touch to put teams away.
When you've got that, when you fight so hard for that game, looking at that Sunday's game, it was like a game of chess. Everybody trying to find that sort of that shot on goal, that little gap, that little place to move, and it just wasn't coming. When you do lose in the way that happens with only 40 seconds left on the clock, what does Steve Thornton say to you guys in the locker room? You know, it must be a difficult one to try to explain.
Yeah, there wasn't much said after that game, and the boys, we all remained pretty quiet for some time after that, and kind of sat in the locker room just, wondering what just happened, really. And like I said before, it's hard to take after you battle so hard for 60 minutes in a 0-0 game, and for them to score in the last minute and win the game, it's tough to take, especially at this point in the season where, every point is so vital and we're trying to stay in that title race. It was a tough one, and we played well, which is the frustrating thing. Obviously, we didn't score too many goals over the weekend, but I thought we played, solid defensively. Our PK was really good. Mm-hmm. But we managed to only come away with 1 point, and, we was in both those games the whole time. So, it was a difficult weekend, and, after it and after the game Sunday, it was a quiet locker room, and, guys just reflecting to themselves, I think, where maybe it did go wrong and what we could have done differently.
It's been quite an inconsistent season, not just in Belfast, but right across the league. All the top teams seem to be having little stretches and then times when they're not winning. Why do you think that is this season, that it's been so competitive?
I think the standard of the league's definitely improved this season. The competition across the whole league, you say it every year that the league gets better and better, but I think it truly has this year. Yeah. And any given night, anybody can win. It just, just takes one team to start the game slowly or be off a little bit, and another team to get a jump on you. And it's been proven, the results all over the league, teams start to come on runs and, you think they're going to start running away with it and then they lose. I mean, prime example of us, we had a great weekend against Sheffield and then, we've struggled a bit after that, and it just definitely for us, it's been the main theme of our season is inconsistency, and it's a very, very frustrating thing. It's hard to put your finger on exactly why that is, but I mean the level of competition is so high this year, and every game there's no easy ones out there this season. So, but for us as a team, we just we're trying to figure it out. And like at the weekend, you play well and you come away with 1 point. It's a hard thing, and it takes a mental toll on you as well. And it's been a long season, but it's not over. And the way the results have gone, that proves that. We've just got to take it one game at a time right now and try and focus on that and make sure we can get 2 points out of that game, and then we'll move on to the next one and just see what happens around us.
Given that you mentioned there that frustration, given that in the way the weekend gone past, how do you prepare for the next week? Do you just basically go back into training, keep the systems the same, keep just trying and just basically becoming a tighter knit group moving into the next game?
Yeah, I mean, this week we've looked back on the video and we've looked at what we've done well and what we didn't do so well and what we need to improve on, because there's always going to be room for improvement after every game. And we're just trying to remain positive, There's no point in being negative and looking down on things. And it's the nature of the sport. Sometimes things go your way and sometimes they don't. And when you're in a situation that we're in right now, the only thing that's really going to get you out of it is hard work. I think that's what we really need to focus on and try and stay together as a team for the rest of the season. And we've just got to work hard every week in practice and make sure we prepare for the next game.
Your own game has become a bit more physical, I think, this season, Craig. I think over December, the Christmas period into January, a lot of people are picking up that you seem to be throwing more hits than Daryl Lloyd. How do you feel your game's been this year?
Yeah, I guess I have been more physical this year. I don't know, maybe the way with the way the league is and stuff, and games being tighter, and there's not as many scoring opportunities out there or offensive opportunities out there, so maybe when the goals aren't going for you, you kind of have to look for other ways to contribute to the team. And, you know, I think playing physical is one of those things. You know, if a guy's out there hitting and throwing his weight around, creates energy for the team. So, you know, I've been through patches this year where I've kind of struggled to find offense and create offense for myself and those around me. So I'm just trying to do something to contribute. So, I don't know, just play physical and hopefully it brings some energy and you can create offense off of that too.
You were saying there about, you know, creating chances and then goal scoring. Goal scoring seems to have been a bit of a problem for the Belfast Giants this season, going across the team. Like, granted, you know, we have been picking up, you know, these wins enough, but there seems to be, Steve Thornton's mentioned himself in post-game interviews that we get the chances, but we don't seem to be putting them away. It has been tough this season.
Yeah, it's been really tough. And, you know, it's for the offensive guys on the team, it becomes a frustrating thing. And, it happens to everybody, and it's a hard thing to get out of when things like that happen and guys are getting chances, and if they're not going in for you, then, you know, people will start squeezing their sticks a little bit tighter, and maybe it's in your head a little bit more. So once that groove hits into a team, then it can be kind of hard to snap out of. Just going back to what I said before, and the only way that we're going to get out of anything that we're in right now is hard work. You know, we all know the systems. We all know how to play. Everyone knows how to play the game, what to bring. You know, the only thing that will get us there is the way we execute and the amount of effort we put in.
And the games come thick and fast at this time of season, and they're never easy one. And this weekend's no different. We've got Cardiff at home, and then we go to the home of the league leaders in Brayhead on Saturday. And how are you guys preparing for these, and what sort of games are you expecting?
We've had tough games against both those teams this year. Looking ahead to Friday against Cardiff, you know, they're kind of back to the way they were a couple seasons ago now, and they're a very physical team, and, you know, they play hard and they like to try and intimidate you, and we know that we're going to be in for a battle against them. So the practice this week, we've been focusing on that sort of intensity and making sure that we have that in practice, and we'll be ready to bring that on Friday as well, and just come ready to battle hard and be ready for that. And, you know, with Brayhead, they've shown the whole league that they're a capable side this year, and, you know, they've played really well. They're a skilled team, and, you know, they can play a bit physical as well. They got a couple bigger guys, so they're going to be two very tough games. But if we can come away from this weekend with 4 points, then, you know, it throws us right back in the mix, because they're two teams that in and around us in the standings, and you never know what results are going to happen.
Thanks again to Craig Peacocks, one of the true gents of British ice hockey.
Dang.
Quick look around the league and beyond. As I said, no dops as of yet, and no dops from anywhere else. Nothing since the 18th of January.
Nothing since the big debate. I hope we haven't broke dops.
Nothing since the big debate. I think it is. They've been sent back to rethink. Outside of the Elite League, Luleå defeated Frölunda Gothenburg, I think that's how you say it, in an all-Swedish CHL final. Of course, Luleå was the team that the Nottingham Panthers took on at the start of the competition, Coach.
Yeah, they were a highly, highly impressive team to watch. I mean, rolled four solid lines and a lot of skill, a lot of speed. They were a good bit more physical than I thought they were going to be as well, to be brutally honest with you. You always get the impression that the Swedes aren't the most physical, but they were easily the best team that I saw. And I didn't actually catch the final last night, but judging by some of your messages, you were saying it was a superb game of hockey.
Oh, it was a brilliant game of hockey. The Frölunda Gothenburg went up 2-0 and held a 2-0 all the way into the about 5 minutes into the third period before Luleå came back and just bang, 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 four goals in the final period to take the competition. I think it's in their own rank. Absolutely superb. Murph doing a great job there calling that game. And it's interesting to see where the Champions Hockey League go from here. It was actually one of the first games in the Champions Hockey League where it's seen a more or less a full rink. It was the final after all, and it was all Swedish. So maybe a bit more travel going on there. But, you know, well done to them. And I see a lot of Nottingham Panthers fans trying to grasp onto that sort of glory, despite the fact that they were beaten in the group stages.
I must admit, Paddy, I think your comeback is worth an airing as well, that, you know, Panthers fans grasping that, you know, we were opened our season by being beaten by the the eventual winners of the CHL. Yeah, well, we opened our season against the Stanley Cup winners, so yeah, job on.
Yeah, I couldn't let that one pass, man. The Nottingham Panthers, the Coventry Blaze have added to their squad by picking up American Vladimir Neferov. That's an American name as you can get. He's coming.
He's from Wyoming.
He is indeed.
He's as American as apple pie. Leave him alone.
And he is. He's from Hobbs, New York, and he's come in from. He's a quite a bit of experience in the ECHL, the FHL, CHL, and the German third. And you know, it's interesting. He's not the only team to pick up. We'll talk about the Cardiff Devils in a bit, but also Dundee have announced the acquisition of Cal Gibbons from the Wichita Thunder in the ECHL. He scored 4 points in 20 games for a forward. I don't know what to think about that, but a few teams, coach, picking up players for the run into the playoffs.
Yeah, the Dundee signing is highly unimpressive, I have to say. Vladimir Neferov, the American forward, looks like a decent player. Mm. That must be the Coventry Blaze's 15th or 16th import. We gave the Nottingham Panthers plenty of stick for the amount of imports that they brought in last year, but Coventry are starting to stack them up rightly themselves. Mm-hmm. And who was the other one, Paddy? Sorry,
it was Cal Gibbons of the Wichita Thunder, the guy with two plus two in 20 games.
Yeah, sorry, and I was thinking there of the Cardiff Devils' new signing, which we'll come on to talk about in a wee bit. But yeah, the Coventry signing looks a decent player, and you imagine Chuck Weber has maybe come across him at some stage during his coaching career and decided to bring him into the Blaze.
Playoff tickets are on sale to the rest of us plebs, having already been on sale to the Nottingham Panthers and the Sheffield Steelers for about a week.
I see a bit of, want to call it bitching, do you? on the Facebook forum there tonight that the Panthers have had another two blocks released to them. So I think that's like, blocks 9 to 15 now they have. You know, it's, another one of these, complaints about Panther Fest.
Mm. The thing is, Davey, they want the tickets. They're buying the tickets. I mean, you know, if there was a bigger, larger demand from Dundee, from Belfast, from Edinburgh, I'm sure those seats would be allocated okay. But at the end of the day, if those seats aren't likely to be filled by the likes of Hull, Belfast, or whatever, you know, it'd be interesting to see how many we take over it. In the end, we normally take a pretty good crowd, but it has diminished.
Oh, that's fell away. It's been terrible the last few years. Terrible.
I don't get that. Sorry, just to come in. I do understand. A lot of people are getting disillusioned with the fact of this quote unquote Panther Fest. I think it's also been added by the fact that the Nottingham Panthers have been pretty successful over the last number of years at the playoffs. And, you know, that's added to it. And people are just getting a bit riled up that they're getting to win it in their own ring. It wasn't always like that. You know, I think, you know, I can understand why people are get a bit disillusioned with it, but at the end of the day, if the Belfast Giants make the Final Four, it's not about it being Panther Fest. It's not about that. It's about going there and supporting your own team in one of the Blue Ribbon events of the season.
Couldn't agree more with you, mate. And I think one of the things as well for a Belfast Giants fan, and it is a very, very expensive weekend. It's expensive to get there, no matter what way you try and come. You come on the boat, you come on the plane, it's expensive. You've got to put yourself up for a few nights. Even if you travel from the likes himself, you know, you've got to pay to get there. You've got to pay to put yourself up. Tickets are expensive. It is an expensive weekend. And if you live in Nottingham, it's a much cheaper weekend. So I can understand why they can sell hundreds and hundreds more tickets than anybody else. So, you know, I'm tongue in cheek a wee bit, coach, about them just, you know, trying to give them a bit of a bashing whenever I can. You know, there is also an extent that, you know, it is in their city, so it is easier for them, so they can sell lots more tickets and have a much more boisterous crowd behind them. It is an advantage. There's no doubt about it.
Looking at games around the league, Hull defeated Brayhead in regulation up at the Hollowed Out Premark. Bit of a shock there. While Sheffield picked up 4 points over Edinburgh and Dundee, shutting out Dundee 6-0, having been defeated by Dundee up at the DIA previously. I'd like to talk about those, but we're running short on time, gents, so I'm going to move on. And Davey, you had a chance to chat with Laura Smaller about Tom Simpson and this Bleed Teal for Tom initiative that the Belfast Giants are picking up.
Delighted to be joined today, and I promised that I would give her the full introduction that she deserves. So we're joined today by the merchandising manager of Kukri Sports and niece of the Mr. Belfast, Jim Gillespie, the one and only Laura Small. Laura, you're very welcome to the show.
Thanks very much for having me.
You're very welcome. Laura, first of all, before we go into all what's going to be happening this weekend, tell our listeners out there a little bit about you, how you got involved with the Belfast Giants.
Really? My uncle was Jim Gillespie. He got involved with the Giants probably about 12 years ago now. So as a family, we just started going to it and then absolutely fell in love with it. And then I took over it at work about 2 years ago. The company I work for took on the merchandising rights, so I've become involved with it in a work capacity as well as a personal capacity. But I still do lots of non-work-related things like Tom's Night that we're organising at the minute.
Well, lovely, lovely segue there, Laura. Tell us what's happening this weekend. Tell us about the connection with Tom Simpson and yourself and Kiefer and stuff, and what the club are doing to help support this kid.
Tom is a 15-year-old kid. He's been coming to the Giants for quite a while. Over the years, I've done lots of different things for him. In Hoff and the Hemingway twins' time, we did a blood drive for him, and some of the boys, like Gleader, went up and donated blood, because blood is the reason that Tom is still here today. He gets blood transfusions every 2 to 3 weeks. So over 250 people have been needed to keep him here. Things have changed a bit for him, and he needs a bone marrow transplant. That's going to involve him and his mother moving to London for 6 months. As you know, it's so expensive to live in London, and at the minute they're not sure what funding they're going to get when they go in a couple of weeks. So a couple of months ago, Adam Keith wanted to do something for Tom in a couple of different ways. He wanted to support him. He wanted to support him in a way to give him a memory. So it's going to be a night all about him. He's got a suit made for him that matches the suits that the boys wear. He's got a jersey. He helped design the jersey that they're going to wear on Friday night. They're wearing a special jersey. He is going to be a big part of it. He's going to help with shaving of Lloydie's beard. Nasty, nasty beard. But I also wanted to help them in a financial way if we could. So we're going to be doing two different things that do that. We're going to be raffling off the shirts off the back, so the entire team will be available for £2, a ticket on the concourse in the usual places. We're also having a special prize draw, which the star prize is a trip for two people to Canada for a couple of nights and two tickets to see the Toronto Maple Leafs. There's loads of other prizes as well. Tickets to Ulster Rugby, tickets to Nicki Minaj, tickets to X Factor. What else is there? Dinner at the Fitzwilliam.
I see this morning that Colin Shields has put up a couple of personal training sessions.
Oh, how did I forget about that treat? Yes, Shieldy will work you to the bone for two sessions. Enjoy that treat, someone. But yeah, it's really good of Colin to give his time. And everybody, we've been just really grateful to everybody who's given and the love and the support that people have given. People from all around the league. Rand Finnerty donated £50 last night, which is beyond kind. Todd Kelman, maybe a devil now, but still bleeds a bit of tail, made a quite large donation this morning. So a random Fife fan gave one of the girls £50 the last time they were here. So it's so nice to see everybody supporting Tom, not just Giants fans.
Is there any way of people that maybe aren't able to get to the Odyssey the weekend getting their hands in their pockets and getting tickets for the draw?
Nice trick, Davey. We're just working on that at the minute. We're hoping that we'll have some kind of PayPal access to tickets if you're not able to come to the game. If you know me and trust me, you can certainly lodge your money into my bank account and I will buy tickets on your behalf. We're just in the final stages of opening a bank account for the Tom Simpson Fund. So once we get that underway, things will be a wee bit easier.
Well, we're at a view from the bridge here, Laura. You know, we'll help out any way we can. If we can help out with that PayPal stuff, you know, it's the options open to you there. Are you hoping for a big crowd this weekend then, the game against Cardiff on Friday night?
Absolutely. Cardiff's a controversial team for us, especially with Todd having gone there. So it should be a big crowd, but also we're hoping some people that maybe wouldn't necessarily come will also come along to support us. We've got people coming from the Northern Ireland Blood Transfusion Service, people that have never been before from there, people from different organisations that have donated prizes, and not necessarily Giants fans, or maybe just people that we all know. So they're all coming down. So hoping for a really big crowd and that lots of people get behind us and support Tom and just have good fun as well. It's about the entertainment on the night and everything for Tom and creating a memory that when things aren't just so good for them, when they're going through the transplant and they're going through all the treatments, that he has fun time to look back on. And remember good times and that there are good times ahead for him as well when he gets better, hopefully.
Well, let's move away from the bleed teal for Tom for a minute. Let's give you one question to leave your fans out there with. What's your Belfast Giants highlight, Laura, in the 3 or 4 years now you've been involved with the merchandising side of things?
Oh, this really is my highlight at the minute, to be honest. Not trying to get it back to Tom, but it's just so special to spend time with him and see everybody coming together to support him. It's what the Giants is about. It's what it's always been for. It was what Jim wanted it to be, and it's what it is to me, like the special place that does things for people that not everybody always knows about, that means so much to people. You know, like some kids I bring down to meet some of the players, it really means a lot to them, but it only takes a couple of minutes of our time. On a hockey front, it's a bit of a while ago, and it would be winning playoffs with Storts. That was my favourite moment of the Giants ever, and I think it always will be.
Well, let's hope we can do that again in April, but here, before you go...
I think we totally can.
Oh, I agree with you. I agree with you.
Oh, I'm a believer.
You've knocked me off now. I'm going to have to edit this wee bit out, because what was I going to ask you? Yes, just before we let you go then, Laura, just a bit of an update on Jim. How's Jim getting on since last we were talking about him?
He's not great, to be honest. He hasn't been very well. He suffered a lot of ill health shortly after the change in ownership. But he still thinks about the Giants and asks about the Giants, and maybe someday he'll maybe make it back to a game, but he still thinks about it and still treasures his memories that he has from it.
Yeah, well, as you know, we're big fans of Jim's here at A View from the Bridge, and we pass on our very best wishes to him, and I suppose from all Belfast Giants fans back down to the Gillespies out there in Texas. So, Laura, thanks for your time, and we'll talk to you soon.
Good thanks luck very
at,
much.
Good luck at
thanks.
The weekend.
Thanks, Davey. Bye. Thank you.
Thanks to Laura, a good friend of the show. Davey, a fantastic initiative by the Giants.
Yes, young Tom. Obviously, this Friday night is going to be a big, big night for the wee man. And if you can't get to the Odyssey and can't get a ticket, Laura, along with himself, we're going to try and work something out. Coach has very kindly volunteered me. I found that out today.
Yeah, that's why I'm in management. I'm a good delegator.
Well, that wasn't really delegation if you don't tell the person you're delegating to, but that's neither here nor there. If you can't get the Odyssey, we are going to try and find a way for you to buy tickets for this big raffle that's coming up in March. It's going to be, there's some fantastic prizes. Laura goes through them on her bit of audio there, so you'll already have heard them. But, you know, great, great cause. The kid and his Tom and his mom are going to have to go to London for maybe up to 6 months, an expensive time, especially when you're going through treatment like that. So anything that you can do to help them out, get a few quid their direction and possibly win an absolutely trip of a lifetime prize. You know, it must be worth a 5 year money.
And Coach, I'm going to feed your bromance here. Another fantastic initiative on the shoulders of Adam Keefe.
Yeah, the man is a heartbeat on the ice and the heartbeat off the ice as well. I mean, he's very, very active and has been right from the get-go when he arrived here, four and a half years ago in the community. The guy gets it, as we've said, on many, many occasions. And, you know, he did fantastic work with young Oscar Knox, who sadly is no longer with us. And I know Kiefer took that pretty badly whenever young Oscar passed away and all the rest. And he, as we all know, all you have to do is follow Kiefer's social media and all the rest. A lot of our guys do it, are very active in the community, but Kiefer really takes up that, that mantle every single year. And Friday night's going to be a really special night. And, you know, if you're coming along to the game, I think there's a pretty big crowd expected on Friday evening. Bring a few extra quid, folks, and throw your money in there and help out the young lad. I thought, just want to make one reference to somebody outside of the Belfast Giants organisation, Ren Finnerty. I mean, saw my tweet going up last night. Kiefer had asked us to do a bit of promotion on it and all the rest, and Finner saw that tweet and he was straight on message 5 minutes later offering up 50 quid and threw the money into the account and all the rest. I mean, it's superb gesture, and we've had quite a few people, which I pass it all on to Laura, quite a few people got in contact via social media from various different clubs across the UK, basically asking can they donate. So it's been great to see that, and hopefully we'll raise a lot of money on Friday evening for young Tom.
You're here. I also see that Laura tweeted the fact that Todd Kelman also involved there, two of the real gents of British ice hockey. Let's bring Dang. Back let's bring back a feature long since forgotten, often imitated, never bettered. Ask Davey. Get on, let's go for it, Davey.
All right, let's just go straight at it here. Big Jacko, Gary Jackson, our good friend there, following on from Sunday. I'll go to you first here, Coach. Do you see Steve Thornton moving up to the office and getting a new coach in, or do you see him staying behind the bench and the Coach Jacko bringing in a new office pleb?
How long have we got, Paddy?
Let's keep it as quick as we can, Coach.
Okay, set aside 15 minutes. can you go to Paddy first?
No.
Okay, you're staying with me. Okay. Well, first and foremost, is my very strong opinion that there should be a general manager at the club. I think that should have been put in place whenever Todd Kelman departed. It's too much, in my humble opinion, for one man to run the entire hockey club. The hockey operations side of things is absolutely enormous. It is absolutely enormous. All the work that has to go into it, coaching the team, putting the team together, making amendments, reviewing game tapes, sorting out flights, accommodation, looking after all the stuff that is encapsulated within that, and then to take on a general management role as well, which looks after a lot of the business side of things, the commercial aspect of the club, etc., etc. I mean, Todd Kelman said to me on many occasions, and he has said it very, very publicly on numerous Q&As that Todd and I did throughout the course of all last season, he was pumping 65-hour weeks as general manager of the club. He wasn't coaching the team. He wasn't putting the team together. He wasn't reviewing game tapes. So in my very humble opinion, in short, and I could go on a lot longer, but I'll refrain on this occasion, to me, there should be a general manager and a coach. Will Steve Thornton move up into management? I think it's a wee bit like what our players talked about at the end of last season. I reckon Steve Thorne has a bit of unfinished business to attend to next season as a coach before he moves, if that was his wish or is his wish in the future, to move into that full-time general management position, if that is what Steve and the ownership decide is the right way forward.
Michael?
Yeah.
Just to correct Coach on one thing that he said there, I don't want this to turn into the big debate, but just to correct Coach on one thing you said there, you said that Todd Kelman didn't put the team together. I beg to differ. I think Todd Kelman's put most of this team together for the last 2 years. So, I don't know.
He signed up a lot of the guys
You've still got to put the work in to pull those teams together. I will say that if you listen to the Paul Eddy speak at the Cats Whiskers of Youth in the Bridge thing, he said that he felt it was too much time or too much for one man to do. And yes, quite possibly it is. We don't know how much time Steve Thornton's putting into this, that or the other. Head of hockey, it's no doubt that this wasn't to be the way things were designed, whether Steve Thornton was going to be this whole encompassing head of hockey operations. It seemed to be landed on him. He seems to be trying to deal with it. What way it'll go at the end of this season. He also take into account he's not coaching his team. Our team's been put together for the large part by the now owner of the Cardiff Devils. So is he getting frustrated at not being able to put his own team together? Next year, will he look to say, listen, I want to go at it and I want to go at it on my terms? But we have to see. With regards to help and whether, you know, the operations side, the commercial side, James Glover, Mark Brooks, Bobby Bell, all working really hard in the office, all putting in big, big hours. And yes, Todd Kelman did put a lot of work in himself, like you say, 60-hour weeks, but that's Todd Kelman as a workaholic. You know, could more responsibility not be placed on James, Mark, and Bobby? We don't know. I don't know. Is it affecting? I think there's a lot of people seem to think it's affecting Steve Thornton's coaching. I just don't know how much time he's spending on this, that, and the other. So I can't make a judgment either way. Moving forward, do we feel he's going to move upstairs and bring in somebody? I don't see it. I see him staying behind the bench, and if that means bringing in somebody behind the scenes to take a lot of the effort off on the commercial side and off the operations side and off the running of the business, then so be it. But I will also point out, I think there's only two teams in the Elite League that have general managers. And it's not necessary, as long as you've got the right people in the right places. You don't necessarily have to have a general manager.
I get to throw my Tuppence worth in there then.
Go for it.
Kind of agreeing with what you say there. Yes, I would agree with probably both of you there that there needs to be another body, if you like, to take some of the pressure off Steve on the day-to-day running and things. Like, as you said already, we don't know what he does day-to-day. But I like Steve Thornton as a coach because, you know, and I would like to see what he's going to recruit on his own because he recruited very, very good teams. And this, you can, this is not a Steve Thornton team because it doesn't have the speed and the kind of swagger that his previous teams had. You know, his teams were all built around speed. Mm-hmm. The Denisets and the Martins. These were Swiss. His go-to players. Yeah. And, you know, I like that he's such a bad loser. You know, at the weekend, he was so disappointed to lose. And you need that fire in your belly. And I'm absolutely 100%, think Neil's 100% right there in what he's saying. There is unfinished business for Steve Thornton come next season. And I hope to see him behind the bench. What the dynamic is with the actual run on the club. Does that really matter to us as fans? It's what the score on the board is the one that's the most important for me. And if we get that right, everything else hopefully will fall into place. But we'll move on because we could, as Neil says there, we could do this to death. Who do you think will make the bigger impact on the team when they return? Murph or Sauce? That's from our good friend, Phil Thompson.
I'll go first on this one.
Yeah, go on.
That's a really, really good question. As we said earlier on, I think that Sauce is a player that we really miss. That goal scoring, that power going down the wing. I think a player that his ability last season was second to none. Was he our top point scorer for the season? And he was absolutely superb in that championship winning team on that line with Higgins and Chevrolet. And whether he would bring him in would give that extra X factor. Let's put it like that for the Belfast Giants. Maybe it is exactly what we've been missing. On the flip side of that, Murph gives us that extra import out on the ice, gives us that thing that only the Cardiff Devils have at this moment in time, where they can recruit all their imports as out skaters. So, and he's a top level, top level, one of the best netminders in the league. So, I don't know. I would personally think Sauce is the player that we need more right now, because I think Carson Chewback is doing a fine job as it is. So to answer the question, I think it's a very, very fine thing to discuss, and there's a fine margin between the two, but at this moment in time, I'd like to see Sauce out there.
I know Dave is a huge Stephen Murphy fan, but you know, for me, I have to tend to agree with Paddy here. I mean, I think Kevin Surratt, we need goals, and Kevin Surratt is a proven goal scorer. The big question mark is going to be what Sauce been out now for 8-9 weeks. You know, it's going to take him 3 or 4 games to probably find his legs again. But he's such a proven quality player. You know, someone like Surratt could easily jump up and if he's back this weekend or whenever it is that he's going to be back. I see from some of the photographs that he's back on the ice and has been for a week or so. So hopefully he's on the mend fully and we'll see him at the weekend. But I think Kevin Surratt, I'll probably pump for him, has been the more important returnee out of the two guys. What do you think, Dave?
You know, I'm looking forward to seeing Murph back between the pipes because I think he's a better goaltender than Carson Chewback. But, you know, I think we've missed Sauce badly. We've missed the goals at key times and big games. And he was a big game player and we scored goals against the big teams. We've got players in our team that fill the net against the lower level teams and just come up a bit unstuck against the higher level teams for whatever reason. And just think we need that go-to guy that, you know, said it already, the big game player. And I think Sauce is that. And let's hope he can get going and, you know, get going quick. It'll be difficult coming back after such a long period out. You've seen it with Mark McCutcheon, his stop-start season. He hasn't been able to get going at all. And, you know, is it more important now for Sauce to get himself fit and come back roaring in September? You know, it'd be nice to see him back on the ice in a Belfast Giants uniform this year. But we'll have to wait to September. Sorry?
Most certainly, I was agreeing with you.
Yeah, you know, if we have to wait to September to have him back 100%, you know, I would like to see that. So moving on to our final ask, Davey, and it's from our good friend Stevie Thompson. And this one, I'll throw the needle first here. Coming up the deadline day, who would you like to see a sign? It can be a former Giant or an EIHL player, past or present.
Ooh. I'll go with a current player and if I can throw my tuppence worth in for, say, like a retired player, yeah. I will go with Chris Higgins, Dave, in terms of bringing somebody back with that inventiveness, that skill, that point production, somebody just opens up games. We miss him massively, in my humble opinion, this year. But if I could bring back one player to play for our club again, Theron Fleury, no question about it. Absolutely superb hockey player. Love watching him. Lit up the Elite League that season that he was here with us. And what a player. Yeah, so Chris Higgins in the current form, and Theron Fleury as a retired Belfast Gent.
Yourself, I have to say the Fleury was the one that came to my mind, but I thought the Fleury was one of the incredibly obvious to say, you know, one of the best players that's played in the Elite League. Wish we could have him back. I totally agree with Coach. I think it's, you know, that is the player that everybody in the league would want. But when I look at this Belfast Giants side and I think, what sort of player do we need? Okay, let's keep it to our normal sort of import standard. What sort of player do we need? What type of it? You're not going to like what I'm going to say, Davey. But David Alexander Bøygaard, former Manchester Phoenix, David Alexander Bøygaard.
He had an eye for goal.
He certainly had an eye for goal, and I think it's his offensive ability, and his ability just to pick out a small slot. His shots were always on target. His shots were always, like, came out of nowhere. He could fire through traffic. He was a superb sniper. And if you could take Bøygaard in his pump and put him in this Giants side, I think he'd score a lot of goals.
Good shout.
What about one old Giant then? Seeing coaches had a go at it.
One former Giant, Paul Dennison.
Oh, interesting.
Bit of speed, bit of creativity, and a goal scorer.
I keep my answer succinct. For me, I would love to have a player who's doing well out in Europe, mainland Europe there at the minute, and McBride, Buck McBride. I think he was fantastic when he was at the club. Best number 12 we've ever had. I think if you listen to Paul Eady on Sunday there, how highly he spoke of Jeff Swayze was very interesting. The amount of game-winning goals Swezer had last year. And what interested me the most was the way he said the other players looked up to him, held other players accountable. When Jeff Swayze spoke, everybody listened. And, you know, Swezer was a hell of a player. But for me, my all-time, even above Theo Fleury, for me, Jason Ruff, I would have him in a Giants uniform in his current condition. Just for me, best Giant that there's ever been.
Yeah. Well, if you want to, we'll bring this back maybe in a couple of weeks' time. If you want to get in touch with us, regards to Ask Davey at AVFTB on Twitter, hashtag Ask Davey. It's good to have it back, mate. Let's have a look ahead to this weekend's games. The Cardiff Devils visit the Odyssey Arena on Friday night for 7 PM face off. The Devils had a 0 point weekend last weekend. They also got an eye on the Challenge Cup semi-final against Coventry, but they lost at home on Sunday in overtime to the Blaze, while also on the road losing to the Flyers. They've got a new signing in Finn Markku, the Finnish player Markku. Tatanen.
I've got to get this name right for Sunday.
You got to get this right for Premier Sports on Sunday. I think it's Markku Tatanen. But anyway, you can check it out when you get there. He's a 36-year-old. He's got lots of European experience, and he actually played with Sauss in Germany when the year that Sauss came to Belfast. Davey, the Cardiff Devils, now, they are holding themselves, and maybe a few other people are holding them as challengers for the title. I don't really buy into that. But they've brought in this guy as a bit of a reinforcement to their team, and they're a dangerous team capable of taking the win at the Odyssey.
Absolutely they are. We've talked about them in previous years, but, you know, the old joke of the travel a bit like the Italian army, not very well at all, but they've definitely improved of late. They've had a couple of closer, you know, sort of results, beating Hull in overtime, losing in Coventry the weekend in overtime, and you know, losing to Fife, so that, you know, and Sheffield, they've been a bit up and down over the last few weeks, and they've obviously identified that they're a bit short on D, so they've thrown this, you know, bit of veteran presence in there to try and, you know, shore them up and push them through to another couple of wins. They'll be looking, you know, the way they've went against us this season, unfortunately, we don't hold any fear for them. For the last number of seasons, we have had Cardiff's number, home and away. And, you know, it's going to be a difficult game. We say it every week in the podcast. It's going to be boring to people who listen to this. We have to come out like a house on fire. Make, you know, we've done well at the Odyssey this season, but our last performance at the Odyssey needs put to bed. You know, we need to avenge that 4-0 defeat by the Nottingham Panthers and come out and put our stamp back on that. The Odyssey, you know, Boomerang Corner has to be loud. You know, we have to make it a big, big game on Friday night and try and get the 2 points.
Coach, you need to get Marco Tutnan. You got to get his name right for Friday night. Never Friday night for Giants Live TV. Never mind Sunday.
Yeah. He just doesn't take Giants Live
as seriously as the Premier League. The Devils, we've been showing, week in, week out, that the Devils are a dangerous side. They've got some really big units. They've got goal scoring, and Ben Bounce in goal has been playing brilliantly.
Yeah, I can't remember the exact record, but I think, what are you going, he had 14 consecutive defeats against the Belfast Giants, and now he's won the last five. Is that right, Davey?
I think so.
Davey's normally good with the old goalie stats. Yeah, I mean, this new signing has Kelman written all over it. I mean, the Cardiff Devils have hit a bit of a rut over the last couple of weeks, as you and Davey said there, and you know, they're in the hunt for all the trophies still. And you know, Andrew Lord and Kelman have obviously identified, you know, might be time for a bit of a change up here. Best foot forward and all the rest have identified a player that that I think Carl Hudson and Andrew Lord. I think Carl Hudson played with this guy, and Andrew Lord played against him. Obviously a very impressive player, and they brought him in, and that's good proactivity in my opinion from the management there, identifying a need. And yeah, they're a big physical team. They bring it every single night. They've been a bit less physical at the Odyssey Arena, obviously a bigger ice surface compared to the Big Blue Tent, so they're maybe not as physically engaging as you would obviously get at the Big Blue Tent. But I mean, the Cardiff Devils, they're a good team. They've got plenty of offense. One player that I really like for the Devils is Jake Morissette. Fast, gets in behind the defenseman, puts a puck on the back of the net. Dangerous, dangerous player. Giants going to have to be very sound defensively, because they do have some very gifted forwards there as well.
Interesting, just looking at the goalie stats between Bounds and Chewback. Chewback's on 0.905 save average, while Bounds is 0.906. So it's going to be a really tight game in the Battle of the Netminders. This game is on Saturday. Oh, sorry, on Friday night. Sorry, don't go down Saturday. There's nothing on Saturday. It's on Friday night at 7 p.m. Get yourselves down there, because the Giants really need to pick up in this game, and especially going into the next night. If you can't get down there, Giants Live TV, Sis and Coach on the mics. And the very next night, we travel over to Brayhead. Busloads of us, once again, travel over the sea to the Brayhead clan at the hollowed out Primark on the outskirts of Glasgow. 7 p.m. Saturday night. Coach earlier on got to chat with the netminder, starting netminder for the Brayhead clan, Kyle Jones.
Delighted to say joining us on this week's official Belfast Giants podcast is Brayhead clan's goaltender Kyle Jones. And Kyle, let's kick off. Just let's talk a bit about life at the Brayhead clan. You know, I've been over there a couple of times covering the games for Premier Sports, and what I've really taken away from it, you guys have a very tight team this year, and it seems that each and every one of you enjoy each other's company. You've got a good thing going on over there in Glasgow at the minute.
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely. We all have, you know, kind of come together, and, you know, Finner's put out a game plan for us, and we all have the same kind of common goal. And I think that's really important with the team. And, you know, winning championships is everybody's goal, and we're all kind of buying into it. And, you know, stuff like that brings teams closer, and playing well together, things like that kind of make the group gel a little bit better.
And let's just talk a bit about yourself here personally, you know, in terms of your goaltending this season. You know, Finner's been very complimentary about your performances. You've got 6 shutouts so far this season. Things are going well for you and the team.
Yeah, I've been pretty fortunate to have a pretty good season. I think a little bit better than it was last year. That just goes to show how well the team is playing as a whole too. You know, especially with shutouts, I don't think enough of the rest of the team gets the credit that they're due when a goalie gets a shutout. So, you know, blocking shots and clearing rebounds and stuff like that makes my job a lot easier, and that reflects in coming in the 6 shutouts.
Do you think that's in any way attributed to the fact, you know, Finners put together what I would deem to be a very physical defence? You know, you've got the likes of Big Zach Fitzgerald, Chris Frank, Jeff Smith. Those guys are big physical presence in front of you. Is that aiding you as well? You know, a tight-knit, strong physical defensive unit?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely having guys like Fitzy and Frankie and Smitty, those guys in front of me, letting me help me see the shots, that definitely makes my job easier as well. And, you know, it helps that they're some tough guys and tough customers that don't mind getting physical in front of that net for me.
And certainly, looking at the Brayhead Clan team this year, I mean, Finner has put together a real mixer. You do have that physical element with the likes of Fitzy and Frank and Smith and Lee Salters, but you also have a lot of skill in there as well with the likes of Matt Keith, Trimmer, Pitt, Stephen Meyer, and you know some of the British guys as well, and the likes of young Ben Davies. You know, it's a almost the perfect mix in terms of putting the hockey team together, and that's probably shown in how successful you guys have been so far in this Elite League campaign.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, Finner did a great job this off season of recruiting and finding guys and replacing the scoring that we lost from last season. Guys like Ash Goldie and Ed McGrain. Those were big losses for us. So, you know, getting guys like Matt Keith and Stephen Meyer in to fill those roles and pick up the offense was huge, a huge thing for that Finner did this off season. And then adding even more of a scoring punch with other guys like, you know, well, Trimmer obviously coming back and, you know, Scott Pitt, those two have been playing really well together. And also Lee Salters putting up some good points lately too. It definitely has been a great mix.
Just wanted to ask you as well, just really on the back of a comment that Corey Nielsen actually made to myself at the end of the game, Nottingham Panthers Belfast Giants game, an interview after that match where he talked about the conference system and he made reference to the fact that the Brayhead Clan, they can pick up some easy points in their conference. What's your thoughts on the overall conference system, and do you agree or disagree with Corey's assessment on that?
I'm not sure there's any easy games in this league, you know. I think that even some of the teams that are lower in the standings have proven that they can beat any other team on any given night. And I think that, you know, even the top teams and the bottom teams, everybody's been, you know, kind of beating each other at certain times. And you know, I don't think any games are easy. You know, Hull's kind of a little bit further down from us, but they put up a good fight against us and beat us at home on Saturday. And then, you know, we went into Dundee and took a couple of points from there. So, I mean, I think it's I'm not sure if calling any game an easy game is the right thing.
Let's talk a bit about the Elite League in general terms. This season, everyone's talked about how tight the league is in general. You guys have done incredibly well so far. You've maybe had a few stumbling blocks along the way over the last week or two, but there are four teams hot on your coattails, so to speak. Who do you see, or who do the Clan see as the major threats to your number one position that you currently have?
Yeah, obviously there's three or four teams right there that are nipping at our heels there, but we try not to look at it too far into it. We know we have at least 13, maybe 14 games left, and we need to most likely win the majority of them if we want to keep this first place. So we kind of just focus on our next game. Like right now, this Saturday, we play you guys over Belfast, but at home. So that's just our focus now, is focusing on that next game and coming out with the 2 points that we desperately need.
Well, let's get on to that. Let's talk about the Giants versus Clan game this Saturday evening. What do you see as a main threat with the likes of the Belfast Giants? From, you know, it's a team that was so dominant last season, and the bulk of those players have returned this year. But the Belfast Giants certainly aren't getting it all their own way or anything like it this season. But what do you see as a Brayhead Clan player as a main threat for the Belfast Giants?
Yeah, I mean, obviously Belfast had a great team over the past, I don't know how many years. So, I mean, anytime you can take points away from the Giants is a big thing. And, you know, we've been fortunate to be able to come out with a couple wins against them over there this season. And we just need to, you know, try to stick to what we do every night and, you know, stick to the game plan and hopefully come away with some more points.
Can you talk about the game plan? What is what's Finner zoned in on in training this week, coming up against the Belfast Giants? He made reference at the end of one of the Christmas games, saying that he felt that the Belfast Giants were probably the most impressive team that he has seen against you guys this season. Is he working on anything specific?
Not necessarily. We might have a few, tweaks to our game plan a little bit here and there on certain things, just to accommodate, a different team coming in. But there's no real change. We just want to play fast and hard and get a good start and, get pucks in deep and definitely play physical like we usually do and, put up some goals. We're a good team when we're getting pucks to the net and crashing the net and putting pucks in. So I think that's just probably just going to stick to that.
I mean, you've probably already answered my next question, which was what type of game are you expecting? sometimes these games, important games at the top of the table and what have you, fighting for points, sometimes it can turn out to be very tepid affairs and what have you, because both teams are maybe been very defensively minded and not wanting to, give up a goal and what have you. Are you expecting this to be a fast-paced, physical affair?
I think so, yeah. Like I said, our goal as a team is to win trophies, and I'm sure that's the same in their dressing room. So every coming down the stretch here, every game is like a playoff game, especially with the tight race in the standings. And, nobody wants to give up any more points, especially at this time of year. So it's definitely going to be, I'm sure it's going to be physical, it's going to be fast, it's going to be, nobody's going to want to give up an inch.
Well, Jonesy, I just want to take the opportunity to say a huge thanks for joining me on this week's podcast. And I would like to wish you good luck for Saturday, but I would be lying through my teeth. But thank you very much for all your time.
Yeah, no problem. Anytime.
Thanks again to Cal Jones, one of the true gents of British ice hockey. The Brayhead Clan, 7 wins from the last 10 games. They are leading the league with title aspirations. The last game in the hollowed out pre-mark was a 5-2 defeat for the Giants, and it was a hell of a feisty game. And coach, the Brayhead Clan, they need to win this game. Yes, they do. They probably have a lot of easier games after that. But if they want to make a marker on their title chances, when the champions come into town, they need to be playing a good game.
Yeah, absolutely, and I would fully expect Ryan Finnerty to have his team ready for it. It'll be another packed-out barn there over in Brayhead. What a fantastic job they're doing there in Glasgow and promoting the sport and regularly getting crowds of above 3,000. They've got a very good team to watch. As I said there to Kyle during that interview, They kind of tick all the boxes. They've got physicality there with the likes of Big Fitzgerald, Chris Frank, Jeff Smith on the back end. They've got pretty good goaltending now with the likes of Kyle Jones, somebody who I was fairly critical of last season, but he's 6 shutouts to his name this year. He's been absolutely superb for the Clan this season. Ryan Finnerty has waxed lyrical about him on numerous occasions. Bing. On the flip side of that, they have the physicality up front as well. Big Lee Salters are big physical presence, got a bullet for a shot. Look at some of their other players, Trim, Pitt, Meyer. They've all put up big, big points. And, offensively, they're pretty good as well. So I'm expecting us to have it's going to be a tough weekend, Paddy, but let's make no bones about it. And we have said this moving forward, but for me, this is a pivotal weekend for the Belfast Giants. We have to try and get a minimum of 3 points this weekend.
From both games, I hope you mean. Yeah, sorry.
What did I say?
No, a minimum of 3 points for this weekend. I thought you were going to say a minimum of 3 points for this game. I thought, oh, he's done it again. No, I understand what you mean. Davey, coach says it's a pivotal game. How right is he?
It's going to be difficult from the position we're in. The claw our way back up there, it is, we've been saying now every weekend is pivotal. We've said it for about five or six weeks now. This weekend we must win, and we've dropped points here and there. We must win this weekend. Now we're now in a playoff situation every single game. If we can't win the league, we must win the conference. We need to be as high up this league table as we can, and we need to start building momentum now in the last, dozen games or so.
Yeah.
Many games are left in the league, not even a dozen, maybe 10. 10, 15 games. So we really need to start, amping up where we're at, improving on performances, getting goals, getting to the dirty areas. The goals on Saturday night came from getting in close on Kowalski, getting backsides in his face. As coach said, I don't know how many times on Sunday night, take his eyes, you know, let's get in front of goaltenders. Let's not make it easy. We have made it easy for goaltenders. Steve Thornton has said in a few interviews in the last few weeks, we have made ex-goalie look like an NHL goalie, and he's been able to repeat it on three or four occasions because that's the facts. You know, we need to start getting the puck behind the goalies. Start banging the twine here, boys. And, you know, yes, pivotal. Brayhead have lost two of their last three at home. So it's, you know, maybe just as Jackals, you know, saying maybe the signs of them starting to choke are there. And you've got to put the foot in the throat when you get the chance.
Three wins from 11, I think, is a stat out there at the minute. It's not good enough. We need, as Davey quite rightly says, we need to go on a run here. And a really good run. I think the captain made reference to it. Steve Thornton has made reference to it. It's time for the boys to front up here this weekend.
That game is on Saturday night at 7 p.m. I'm making the drive up to Brayhead, so there will be at AVFTB Twitter updates, so keep in touch with that, and I'll try to bring you as much information from Premark as I possibly can. Any other business, gentlemen?
No. Nope.
The only thing I have is that the tickets for the Colin Shields game-worn shirt are still available. We're just cracked the £250 mark, thanks to everyone who was in Bunkers Inn on Sunday, lifted over £70 there. Thanks to Simon Kitchen for his unsurprising, the big man's always very, very generous, and £30 to the fund, so very, very thanks to him for that. And gone through the 250, our next target's 300. You know, we're trying to get as much as we can for the Weston Park Cancer Charity here and for Simsy's Walk, so keep them coming, folks.
Come on, give the Panthers fans praise. They all came up and handed over their money. Come on. You were very complimentary.
I said that we collected over £70 in Bunkers. We're very, very pleased for them. Thank you very, very much for everyone that, that put their hand in their pocket. Thank you.
Hear, hear. Well, on that note, gentlemen, I'll bid you farewell and I'll speak to you next week.
Cheers, Paddy.
Cheers, Neil. Cheers, Paddy.
Cheers, Dave.
Thanks, as always, to Davey and the coach, or Dave and Neil, as it seemed to be all the way through that show. Thanks to Cal Jones, Laura Small, and to Craig Peacock. The games this weekend are at home to the Cardiff Devils, 7 p.m. at the Odyssey Arena. Get yourself down there. If you can't, giantslive.tv is where you'll get commentary from Sizz and Coach. And on Saturday evening, 7 p.m. over in Brayhead, if you're not making the trip over on the ferry or flying over or whatever, at AVFTB is where I'll be doing as many updates as I possibly can. At AVFTB, of course, is also where you can get in touch with this podcast. At kingdomofthegiants.com is our email. kingdomofthegiants.com, /podcast, is our web address. And soundcloud.com/AVFTB for all of our post games. We'll be trying to get some after both games this weekend. And wherever you are this weekend, we hope you enjoy your hockey. And we'll catch you here next time on A View from the Bridge. Touch it up against the world, steal you around.